8:07 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you here on this Tuesday. Sean, Dalton, Dr. Bill, Kelly, Kane, the whole gang, and you at 343-0106, 343-0106. Been remiss in doing this. It was one of my New Year's resolutions. I'm trying to cycle back here. Reminding you, if you want to listen to us on your phone, there on the smartphone, the app is TuneIn Radio. So the word tune and the word in mash together for tune in, and then the second word radio, available on iTunes or Google Play. It is a free download. Now, there is a, you know, people have said, well, there's a pay. Yeah, there is a pay version. Sure, that's why they're in business. That's what they're supposed to do, trying to make money. But there's a freemium. You use the freemium.
All the time.
The freemium, and I've been doing it for 5 years now or so. It's really great. Lets you stream the station wherever you go, wherever you have a cell phone signal. And also, what's kind of cool is you get a text or a call. It pauses the audio, kind of like a radio version of DVR, and you can pick it back up when you're ready. You hit play, and you're back into the show.
Yeah, we've had listeners in Louisville, Texas, Pennsylvania, anytime you
Indiana,
travel.
We've got somebody in Indiana daily. Yeah, so we across the country, people use it. And, of course, you can just use it if you're right here in Mobile and Baldwin counties. All right, it is a Tuesday. That means we get to talk to our buddy Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com, also the author of the Mad Jones Trilogy, available right now on Amazon. Hey, Quinn.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, good morning. And subject matter today, and this is going to come back to what's going on in Montgomery in session, but it's Common Core, something you've talked about with us over the years. Let's kind of, before we get into what's happening right now in Montgomery, people say Common Core, they talk about Common Core, hey, we got to get rid of Common Core. What is Common Core? Can you give me like the Wikipedia entry on this?
Yeah, it is a set of national standards, not curriculum, but national standards for elementary and secondary schools. It was developed by a so-called consortium of experts. And the idea being that that if everybody is shooting for the same standards, you could, they would have a common benchmark, and therefore you could tell how well every state is doing, and every state would have would have something to aim for. The problem is, of course, when you try one size fits all, if the one size happens to be incorrect, then you're in trouble. And that's what happened with Common Core. The standards are actually pretty much nonsense. What they do is, of course, when you set standards without curriculum, all the textbook companies come out and they model curriculums to meet the standards. And so, in effect, you have this whole education industry trying to set curricula to meet the standards, and you end up with one common curricula, and the curricula is awful. It's awful on so many fronts that I've laid out over the years that it is that it's actually hurting kids' ability to learn. Perfect example: Education Week has something called quality counts. That is their nationally recognized assessment of schools in the states. Just before we went, Alabama adopted Common Core. Alabama had moved all the way up to 25th in education in the country. After 7 years of Common Core, we dropped back down to 43rd. Case closed.
All right. I would have, because, I mean, the idea of a top-down educational policy is not new. I mean, this has been, you know, where there's mandates coming down through the system. I remember during the Bush years, my wife, who's a Mobile County educator, had to deal with the Head Start program, and she said, hey, some of this stuff is good, but some of the times we're just testing kids and not teaching kids. So, I mean, there have been griefs with these programs over the years. This one, though, seems to be bigger. And there are a bunch of conspiracies out there about it. I don't know that I follow that, but I do wonder, like you said, what is the outcome? I mean, I think what we all want are children that are educated to be ready to work in the next 10 to 20 years. And, you know, that's going to be kind of a different world, too. I mean, just saying, hey, we teach them like we did in the 50s, that may not work either.
Right. And you're absolutely right on everything you said, but again, if you've adopted standards that themselves are sort of an experiment, then if the experiment goes wrong, everybody in every state is messed up. Let me read you from the standards themselves. This is literally part of the mathematics standards, and it's such jargon, such gobbledygook, that you wonder how any teachers have any clue what they're actually supposed to do. Math, and I quote, mathematically proficient students bring two complementary abilities to bear on problems involving quantitative relationships. One is the ability to decontextualize, to abstract a given situation and represent it symbolically and manipulate the representing symbols as if they have a life of their own without necessarily attending to their reference. The second is the ability to contextualize, to pause as needed during the manipulation process in order to probe into the reference for the symbols involved.
Right.
What the heck does that mean?
But, yeah, and you and I both, I mean, the majority, I'm probably 90% of the vocabulary words, I get them. But what does it mean? I don't know. I guess my hearing comprehension is not good on that. It sounds like a word problem. Those were always, you know, tough. But one of the questions, though, is if this is a national, and I see what you're saying. I mean, if I agree with you of having, just like I am for different policies, having the states being the laboratories and having right. one place do it better, and then you copy what they did because they were successful. But with Alabama dropping in the standards, I mean, in the stats here for education, if everybody's adopted the same standards, why didn't it just, in a commiserate way, everybody kind of go to a new low but stay in the same order?
Because Alabama, as most of us unfortunately know, had been really low for a long time, and
right.
only with the Alabama Reading Initiative and the Alabama, I think it was called the Math Initiative, had we started rising. And so we had actually made good progress in the last decade, but because we were starting on a low base, then we didn't have time for, you know, culturally and all the rest of it, for us to consolidate that base. So when we pulled the rug out from under what we were doing, we fell quicker than others because we were on shakier ground. We had improved, but we hadn't consolidated the improvement, so we were vulnerable to being knocked right back down.
All right. So with this now as a subject that they're discussing in Montgomery, talk about what the Senate did. Talk about what's facing the House.
Well, after years of the Senate refusing even to allow a floor vote on repealing Common Core, even though it looked like we probably had a majority that was willing to do it, but the leadership wouldn't let them, the Senate finally let it come to a vote, and by an overwhelming 23-7 majority, the Senate directed the State Board of Education to repeal Common Core.
If you're talking about Senate,
that those are not even going to be officially by name our goals or our standards.
You're talking about Senate leadership, then I'm thinking Senate President Pro Tem Del Marsh. So he was, what, was he the person who didn't let it come to the floor for a vote before?
Del Marsh was the single biggest obstacle for about 5 or 6 years.
Well, what happened?
Well, now he's thinking of running for U.S. Senate, and so
okay.
rather than
okay.
needing to answer to the Business Council of Alabama, which, of course, controls the state legislature, he is going out to grassroots conservatives who actually vote in the primaries, and presto changeo, he went from the biggest obstacle to repealing Common Core to suddenly he was the one that introduced the bill to repeal it, pushed it through, and got a vote on it within 4 days. Now,
I just wanted to check.
Better late than never.
Yeah, I just wanted to check. I wanted to make sure that I was square on that one.
Yes.
Just find out how that worked. Okay, and the other question you got to always ask when you have some top-down mandate from the feds, dollars attached to this? I mean, what if this goes through and we repeal Common Core? Does Alabama, does ETF, does any place else in the state lose money?
No. Now, that was a big problem with Common Core from the start, and it's what got so many people, one of the things that got people riled up is the Obama administration tried a backdoor way to tie funding to the Common Core standards, and it was sort of complicated, but basically that's what they were doing. But But the whistle was blown on them. It was technically illegal what they were doing, and Congress, once the Republicans came in, forced them to stop it. So now there's no funding attached to it, which does leave us free to get out from under it.
We jump from the Common Core peg. Where do we land? Do we go back to something that's what education plan do we work on?
Well, I mean, there's so many different state plans to choose from. I've heard Minnesota's really good. Of course, Alabama had been making great progress, as I said, in the previous decade. So, you know, I wouldn't mind going back to something pretty close to the standards we had in place before 2010. But, you know, maybe we've got those standards as a base, but we add 10 years of new research so we can, you know, manipulate them a little bit. But there are all sorts of things out there we can choose to adopt, and it should come from a grassroots process. Louisiana did it in a grassroots process. Local people, local educators, local parents should have at least some voice in the process.
There we go. Before we wrap here, this text from Heather, this said, I would love to hear the statistics again that were shared about where Alabama students were before Common Core versus where they are now.
According to Education Week, in 2011, which is the year that Common Core actually went into effect in Alabama, so, you know, but it had not been in effect before, we were 25th. Now we're back down to 43rd. By other counts, we're 40. I think it's 46th in reading and 49th in math, or vice versa, by different counts. But by Education Week, that's the big precipitous drop, 25th to 43rd. And the reason I bring it up, the State House leadership is meeting this morning to talk about their next moves on a multitude of fronts. This is one of their topics. They need to hear from the grassroots. You've got to call your local representative and tell him, we need to repeal Common Core.
All right, very good. People want to read more about what you're writing. Where do they go?
They go to quinnhillier.com, or they can Google Quinn Hillier, Washington Examiner. And also, again, my books are out there, Matt Jones Heretic at Amazon.com.
All right, Quinn, we appreciate it. Thanks. We'll see you soon. All right, 820 FM Talk 106.5. I've got a theory that if you've got the YouTube stars that do all the Minecraft videos that my children have consumed, and all that, if they would teach the reading, writing, and arithmetic, the kids would be brilliant. They'd be rapt with attention, right? All right, coming right back. Oh, by the way, in addition, let me just add, we have this just coming in as well from Terry. Rollover, multiple vehicle accident, 65 southbound at Celeste Road. 65 southbound at Celeste Road, rollover, multiple vehicle accident. Get more on that with Kane in traffic coming up. What do you think, like PewDiePie does multiplication tables or something like that?
Maybe you can have the count on as a special guest.
I mean, think if you could find what it is that, and maybe it's just subject matter, but I think somewhat delivery as well. Those YouTube stars that have the children's attention so much, if you could adopt some of that to teach the material. I mean, I'm like an asymmetric thinker. If you want to figure out another way to get them to learn the stuff, I'm cool. I'm cool. As long as they learn the stuff and, you know, they get better at it, then cool.
Well, I guess if you provide them actual real curriculum, that'd be good. But I think that's already a problem, is so many kids getting their history and their news from, like, from sources that are either leading them astray or don't know what they're talking about. And I think that's probably the rise of teenagers and young adults that believe full-heartedly in socialism now, as they hear it's such a great thing on YouTube.
That and flat earth.
That's
oh,
right.
Oh gosh, here we go with the flat earth calls. I don't have time for that today. Donnie says public education was designed to create good worker bees, otherwise known as drones. Donnie, that's a discussion I've had over the years before it became a hip thing to do. We talked about it the other day when Cam Marston was on the show and talked about education. And you gotta have people that are critical thinkers that can help deal with some of those other issues. And the reason I say it, though, think about 10 years ago. Could you predict what the new jobs would be now?
No way.
Okay, so what do we want for our children? Obviously, you have to know basic things to be a citizen and be able to get through life, and those things are important. In addition, though, they need to have critical thinking skills and learn how to learn.
Yeah, learning to learn.
You know, and that's you know, something that is going forward. There's so many people that aren't working in the field that they studied. If they did go to college or, you know, something like that, they're not working in that field, but they know that that person can learn new things, mm-hmm. right? That's what I would hope for our children. You've got to know a basic, you know, the reading, writing, and arithmetic, and let me add in history, because I think that's very important as well. But beyond that, skills to be able to learn with and pick up something new. And you know, how many times are you and I sitting here and go, some new technology or something comes along, and we go, neither of us know how to do it, but we go, we'll just learn it. I mean, we'll just learn it.
Yeah, and as bad as I am at the subject, I think math has become more important every single year, and eventually being able to do statistical analysis and be able to feed numbers into those machines that are taking everyone's job, and it just seems like numbers have become a huge deal in the employment world.
Yeah, but numbers, but also I think you can't just be straight numbers. You have to be able to communicate those numbers and make them relevant to other people.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the bigger scenario here. I was on the text line here, Tony. I hear what you're saying, and you know, if y'all are just joining us on the show, I've got two children. Dalton's got one. I've got a 13 and an 8-year-old. So I'm in the world of homework,
mm-hmm.
right, and working on this stuff. Tony says it was almost impossible for parents to help their kids with homework using Common Core. It made no sense to me. And Tony, there are things that will come up, and I would agree some of these things are of question, but there will be things I think that we as parents will see our children are learning that we didn't learn, and that may be okay, because as long as it's designed to teach them something that they're going to be implementing down the road that maybe we didn't have to do, then maybe it's valuable. I want to assess each thing one by one and just say, instead of saying anything that's new is invalid.
Right. And I think it's there's a coming battle. Actually, there's a battle right now, and I'm already split on it with computers and handheld devices, phones, and whether your kid should get a phone early, because, you know, they have the statistics out there that teenagers are increasingly depressed because they're constantly on their phones, constantly looking at all the division, not a math division, but the division between people on social media, and that might be depressing them. You know, they can never leave school, so the bullies are always there, mm-hmm. and the schoolhouse battles are always there online. But also, they need to learn how to use that technology and become proficient at it, because that's where the jobs are, and that's where the jobs are going, is be able to use technology to its fullest
advantage. Yeah, but
advantage.
I think that will be organic. People learning because there's a desire, there's something you want. You learn the technology. You know, you learn to fix the boat engine because you want to go fishing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the same time with the technology, if the goal is something they want to interact or something like that, you learn the technology. What's tough is learning just to learn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you think about it, it around your house, there's, Lord knows, the YouTube revolution and the online for doing home fix-it jobs has been huge, because you wouldn't sit down and learn how to replace, you know, a seal and a pump on a Bosch washing machine if you didn't have a Bosch washing machine that didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? And so, but now we have the technology to be able to teach yourself that skills. I don't know. I think you have, whatever the technology is, if the carrot at the other end is whatever the child wants to learn, then they learn how to do the thing on the way to get to what they want. I think it's worth discussing going ahead and doing it right here. 343-0106. 343-0106. I'm going to hop out. I've got an appointment to keep, but I will be back very soon. Mark Holliday is going to join Dalton in here for the last half hour. You boys got it?
That's right. Actually, I'm hopping out. No, I'll be here.
Okay, so the two of y'all. All right, talk to y'all later. We'll go to Dr. Bill's forecast right after the news.
Hey, thank you, Kane. 836 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Right now we head over to McConnell Automotive, where we talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Dalton, buddy. How are you?
Hey, doing fantastic. And April Fool's was yesterday. That means we know that it's no longer a prank. The deals at McConnell Automotive are the best you can find.
Yeah, exactly. We were joking yesterday. You could buy one, get one free, you know, on a Denali or something. But I think the thing we're most proud of, Dalton, and everybody listening, is just how easy we are to deal with and straightforward. We just believe in transparency. And I think if people kind of are sick of car shopping because they had to do a lot of efforting to buy a vehicle, they'll love dealing with McConnell. And, you know, Dalton, we're talking off air. We have six SUVs, and that's really what's popular. And we go all the way from a Buick Encore, which is the small Buick that starts around $25,000, and we sell those vehicles for usually less than $20,000, and gosh, payments around $169 a month when you lease one, all the way up to the big Denali, which is what everybody really seeks to get. And you know, an example of a Denali is you can save about $20,000, sometimes as much as, you know, $22,000 or $23,000 compared to a Cadillac Escalade when it's really very similar vehicle. So we got a little bit of everything for everybody, and the Acadia and Terrain, all those vehicles. So we want people to check them out, and I promise you nobody will beat our price anywhere around the Gulf Coast. That is a guarantee.
And that website where anyone could check out the entire inventory at McConnell Automotive?
Yeah, all they got to do is go to McConnell Automotive. It's two C's, two N's, two L's. So easy to find, and all our prices are clearly marked, and we don't add any dealer-added markups like a lot of the people. And I think people have been buying vehicles from us for over 60 years for those kind of reasons, Dalton. We sure appreciate everybody's support.
All right. Thank you, Mitch. Have a good one.
Y'all have a great Tuesday, buddy.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65. All right, 838 on FM Talk 106.5. The phone number, the digits, 251-343-0106. Call in or text, and we'll talk about whatever is on your mind. Of course, had Quinn Hillier on at the beginning of the hour talking Common Core repeal.
Right, I was glad to hear that the Common Core has been, at least in the Senate. And it's interesting that he indicated the reason, because Sean asked the question, Del Marsh, and obviously he's running. He has to address a different constituency.
Now he does, right?
Yeah.
So they're making a push for that, and we'll see. I don't know if there's been any nationwide. I mean, I know there's been nationwide anger over Common Core, and that's been going on for the full 8 years now since it was put in place.
I don't have the list in front of me, but there are some states that have, according to my memory, that have repealed Common Core or have decided to move into a different direction.
We'll see if Trump maybe takes that up as it gets closer and closer to 2020, and he starts getting the base rallied up again. I wonder if we'll see. Well, I don't even have to wonder. He's already doing it on a lot of his campaign stops, kind of talking about his plan for 2020, and just the same way as he did in 2015 and 2016, getting everybody fired up for it. And one of those things going into his first election win was about Obamacare.
Exactly.
It seemed like immigration and Obamacare were two of the main topics that he ran on and ran against. And news coming yesterday from the president's Twitter feed where he says, it looks like we're going to wait until after the 2020 elections to put up another vote on that GOP replacement for Obamacare. He tweeted, the president tweeted, everybody agrees that Obamacare doesn't work. Premiums and deductibles are far too high. Really bad health care. Even the Dems want to replace it, but with Medicare for All, which would cause 180 million Americans to lose their beloved private health insurance. And he continued tweeting. This was a long segment of tweets from him. The Republicans are developing a really great health care plan with far lower premiums and deductibles than Obamacare. In other words, it will be far less expensive and much more usable than Obamacare. Vote will be taken right after the election when Republicans hold the Senate and win back the House. So he's banking on Republicans winning back the House. Right. I guess he thinks right now with a Democrat-controlled House, and
well,
he thinks correctly, there's no chance anything would make it
through. There's no chance, and I mean, it's just like when Obamacare was first enacted, you know, in 2010, you know, the Republicans said, give us the House, we'll work to repeal Obamacare, and so, you know, the electorate gave them the House, and they passed some bills, but, you know, nothing was going to happen because they didn't have enough in the Senate to make it work. And even if they had been able to pass it, it would have ended up on President Obama's desk, which would have carried a veto, not enough votes to override that veto. So, you know, we're in a similar situation right now. Politically, he's right that trying to do anything now is just going down a dead-end street. So politically, if they can win back the House, they have a much better chance. But here's the problem. It seems like the Democrats take a bad idea like Obamacare and find out, hey, it doesn't work, so let's double down and go to an even more expanded version with Medicare for All or Medicaid for All, which, you know, anybody that, you know, has any bit of sense realizes that is not going to work, not to provide effective health care for the American public, and is not cost feasible. So the Republicans need to start working now on a plan, which they should have done, you know, when Trump got elected, had a plan in place to replace Obamacare instead of waiting and spinning the wheels and then having John McCain vote no. And
That's when the feud began between him and McCain, which is still running, even though McCain is no longer around.
Yeah. Right.
But I wonder if the Republicans didn't have those plans in place because Trump was such a long shot. I mean, if you go back, and now that streaming is available and you can watch some of these old shows, a show that you and I have discussed quite a bit, Last Man Standing, that I think it was on NBC and moved over to Fox, or might have been vice versa.
ABC, I think it was.
Okay.
And then to Fox.
ABC, yes. And of course Tim Allen on that, Tool Man. And
right.
It's kind of the same, in the same vein as Home Improvement, except he has daughters now instead of sons. But I'm going back and working my way through some of those.
Yep.
And now that I've got a kid, I'm making it maybe one episode a week. So slowly making it through that. But I thought it was interesting watching that show. And I think it were the seasons back in 2014, 2015, where it was a foregone conclusion that Hillary Clinton was going to be the next president. I mean, people forget how in the bag Democrats, and not only Democrats, but most people thought Hillary Clinton had that election. Of course, with Trump being able to rally everyone around his ideas and around draining the swamp and building the wall and repealing Obamacare, he got a lot of votes. But in 2020, he's going to be running on building the wall and repealing Obamacare. So I wonder if a lot of Trump supporters aren't put off by that nothing's been done, or if they see the obstacles that he's had to go through since his 3 years now in the office and know that it's been difficult for him, or if they're upset that he hasn't been able to get it done. I'm interested in those opinions. If you have an opinion, give us a call, 251-343-0106, or you can text us at that same number.
Right, right. You know, you're right, Mo. I have to kind of, you know, just temper that a little bit when you say nothing's been done. On these items, things have been done, but in the overall scheme of things, the things that you know, mark a president's administration, the economy is doing well. The tax cuts have put money back into more people's pockets. Unemployment is at its lowest, black unemployment ever. You know, immigrant unemployment, you know, the lowest it's ever been. These are things that are positive steps in the overall scheme of things in the country. These couple of items, I mean, you know, the president has been stonewalled at every turn, and it is simply because, you know, they'll do anything to keep him from having another win.
Mm-hmm.
The money is ridiculous. I mean, you know, I would like for our country to be more conservative and more fiscally responsible. They're not, but $5 billion is a drop in the
Washington bucket.
In the Washington bucket, absolutely. So, I mean, that's not it. It's just simply a fact that the opposition cannot allow the president to have another win.
And one of those obstacles that the president has had over the last couple years is another foregone conclusion, like the Hillary Clinton becoming president foregone conclusion, and that's that he was colluding with Russia. And then now with the release of Barr's report on the Mueller report, which says that he did not collude with Russia, and that it was undetermined, according to Mueller, whether the president colluded in that investigation, and Barr cleared him of those charges, being the attorney general. Now the House Democrats, they're keeping it up with this Mueller report. They've now decided to subpoena the full Mueller report, which we did see coming, because Pelosi's been talking about it since the day it dropped, and so has Schumer.
And Schiff. All of them.
Pretty much every Democrat in Washington and in the nation have been asking for the full Mueller report, because they can't believe that it was a 300-page Mueller report and the attorney general was able to sum it down into four pages. honestly, that's probably how much would have been redacted anyway. Right. 296 pages of the report.
A lot of legalese that, you know, normal everyday Americans just go, huh?
Yeah, seriously. But yesterday, the House Democrats said they're going to move ahead to authorize a subpoena that demands the Justice Department and the Attorney General William Barr release the full Mueller report, despite Barr's intentions to deliver it in the coming weeks anyway. And one of my 6.5 stories last week was, you know how you can pre-order books on Amazon? Mm-hmm. They put them up, you know, I've got a book coming out in March. Go ahead and pre-order it, and that can put them up the bestseller list, so and so. But there are two new items that you can pre-order, and they are the Mueller report, you know, with Whitewater. You know how that report became national, like, right. I think it was at the top of the best national selling books list for a long, long time, and the media organizations have those dollar signs in their eyes. One of those is a Washington Post Mueller report, where they provide their own commentary before and after, and I think Dershowitz has one coming out, too. Man. But those were put out for pre-order on Amazon and went rocketed up the lists. They're already on the top-selling list.
Wow.
But if you don't think that, you know, these media organizations, specifically the Washington Post, have something to gain from their opinion on the Mueller report, it's right there in plain sight. They already have it available for pre-order. They're banking on it, on Barr releasing that here in the coming weeks. They even put a date on it. I think they said May 1st it would be released. It might have even been April, at the end of April, that they would have that released. Well, they might have to delay that a little bit if the report doesn't come out by then.
You sure this isn't a late April Fool's joke?
It was actually, if it was, it was an early one. We had that on 6.5 stories on Friday.
Friday,
but
well,
the House Democrats are trying to subpoena the report. We'll see if they get anywhere with that. It doesn't look good for them. But I do think Barr will probably release it here in the next few weeks. And the nation will get a full look at the Mueller report. And we'll still be divided. Nothing will change.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone will see what they want to see in it. 849 on FM Talk 106.5. When we get back, we'll take your calls, 251-343-0106. And we'll talk a little 2020 if you want to, that election we were talking about earlier. Biden, is he going to stick in there as a second accuser comes out against him? More on that coming up. This is Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks, Kane. 853 on Mobile Mornings, FM Talk 106.5. Don't forget, Auburn basketball, they're in the Final Four. First Alabama team ever to make it
into
the Final Four.
What a game. What a game Sunday.
Great overtime win over Kentucky. And Bruce Pearl has done a magical job with those Auburn Tigers. But they will play, and we'll air it right here on FM Talk 106.5. Tip off at 5.09 p.m. on Saturday. That pregame show will start at 4.30. Right now, we head to the phones here on Mobile Mornings, where we talk with Therese in Mobile. Good morning, Therese.
Good morning. I have two questions, and then I'll hang up and listen to your answer. How is it that when Kenneth Starr investigated Bill Clinton, that releasing the report was against the law, and now that Mueller's report, they want to release it against President Trump, it's not against law? And also on immigration, anybody that's ever been following this immigration knows that this is a paid globalist movement. They're paying these South America leaders. President Obama, I believe, paid them $6 billion to send these people here. And it's a paid globalist movement of invasion of our country for globalism. But my question is, the religious institutions that are being paid to settle these people in the country, how does that not make them enemies of the state? And I'll hang up and listen.
All right. Thank you, Therese. Regarding the first part about the reports, the Barr report and then now the Mueller report, I don't know specifically about the Barr report or Starr report.
Yeah, Ken Starr.
I've got Barr, the Attorney General, in my mind. But
right.
Starr, I was a young kid, so I didn't follow that one closely. But I imagine that everything that happens for a first time sets a precedence, and with that release, that maybe it's people feel like this should be out there.
Well, I don't have the specifics of the law, but the law has changed since the investigation, the Whitewater investigation there. So, the law governing special prosecutors, special counsel has changed. I don't know specifically what the changes are, and this may be some of the changes that allowed for a release as opposed to no release. I'm really not clear on that. If somebody's got the legal background and wants to weigh in, I'm more than happy. But I do know that the legislation regarding special counsel, special prosecutors has changed since then.
And it still is illegal to not redact confidential information. So when that, if and when that Mueller report comes out, anything that is confidential or could really maybe not paint America in a bad light, but anything that would give away secrets or mm-hmm. anything like that, that would have to be redacted. Yeah, that's still definitely a part of the national law. All right, let's go over to Spanish Fort where we talk with James. Hey, James.
Hey, good morning. How are y'all doing?
Hey, good. Doing good. What you want to talk about this morning?
I just want to say y'all were asking the question about if Trump supporters, you know, how they felt about certain things, but you know, the most important thing to me is we've got good people on the Supreme Court. Our economy's in great shape. And I was reading a stock report this morning about what happens in an economy like ourselves, and I think the future's bright. We still got upside in the market. But more importantly to me is I think that the Republican Party needs to, and all the Trump supporters, we need to get away from getting revenge on these derelicts. We're not going to get that. We're not going to put Hillary Clinton in jail. We're not going to put any of that in jail. Let's focus our attention to what this country needs, and that is to get back to the basics of government and get these people turned around that don't understand what socialism really does to a country. And that's where we need to focus our attention. All this rhetoric about who did this and who did that just takes up time and effort. Let's get back to doing what we need to do. I think this change in Common Core, if done correctly, is going to be a great help in the future, where we can teach our children about history, about math, get them decent. Well, there's a lot of decent jobs out there. We keep talking about decent jobs. There's a lot of decent jobs out there. It's just people don't go get them because they say, well, the government will take care of that.
All right.
We just need to get away from all this rhetoric and get on to governing and start electing people who know how to write and get a bill passed instead of letting the our own president or any president send this forward. We need to get rid of all these bureaucrats that write regulations after a bill is passed and get the intent of the bill put into place for people.
And that's going to be the last word today for Mobile Mornings.
It is.
We're out of time.
Great point there. That was something that Trump ran on, was getting the Supreme Court back in conservative hands, and he certainly did that. It's a long road to 2020, though. I think a lot's going to come up over the next year and a half or so. All right, Mike Gallagher with the Mike Gallagher Show. He's coming up next, and Midday Mobile at noon. But that does it for Mobile Mornings right here on FM Talk 106.5.